May it please the Court, Gabriel Hedrick on behalf of the appellant, Hucheng Liu. I'm sure the Court has a number of questions for me regarding the issues raised on this appeal, but I would like to start with a key principle of due process that I think governs the issues raised on the appeal by both Mr. Liu and as well as the issues that I think were inappropriately raised by respondents. It's a quote from Justice Holmes in the case of McDonald v. Mabee, and Justice Holmes writes, "To dispense with personal service, the substitute that is most likely to reach the defendant is the least that ought to be required if substantial justice is to be done."
Counsel, I have a preliminary question before we get to the due process issue. Is this case subject to dismissal because your client failed to move to set aside the default judgment?
No, Your Honor.
Why not?
First of all, the issue was, on the procedural matter, the issue was inappropriately raised by the defendants in their respondents' brief as opposed to a motion to dismiss under the federal rules of appellate procedure. Secondly, I'm getting to the substance of the matter. The issues that were raised on this appeal were already presented to the district court in the motion to set aside the first default. And the rules and the case law regarding making motions to set aside a default or default judgment, I don't believe go so far as to require.
You have a whole different set of issues here. The first one had to do with whether you could serve the babysitter, and the second has to do with whether you can give notice by publication.
But the arguments raised in that hearing and in those papers involve whether or not Mr. Liu was
our consortio decision looks like it's simply a straightforward application of the rule, but on appeal we don't hear arguments that were never raised to the district court. And you haven't raised any of these arguments to the district court.
Yes, but we have raised these issues with the district court as far as the Mr. Liu's residency, the requirement that Mr. Liu be personally served, and these are the underlying issues.
The district court agreed with you, and you won that, so there's no reason to appeal that.
But the district court did not agree on whether or not Mr. Liu was required to be personally served, or that he was a resident or domiciliary of China and should be required to be served in China.
But he quashed service the first time.
He quashed
service a second time in under different methods, including publication, which you're contesting. And you've never protested those to the district court.
But the court entered that order sua sponte without allowing the parties to argue those issues or present those issues.
Well, that's why you have the availability of other mechanisms for going back to the district court.
And certainly we could have made a motion to set aside the default judgment, but the arguments would have been substantially the same as they were the first time around.
Well, you would have preserved the argument for appeal, though. I think that's the point for us is. You have never raised, the district court has never addressed these arguments.
But I, with all due respect, I believe they have, because the court has found that Mr. Liu did not have to be personally served, which is what our argument on this appeal is. The court has found that Mr. Liu, we did raise the argument that substituted service, and maybe not publication, but we did argue that substituted service was not proper. Because Mr. Liu was required to be personally served because he didn't meet the prerequisites.
All of that, of course, in anticipation of service by Phillips. So if Phillips had never bothered to serve your client, you wouldn't be here, right? It's the service that really triggers your right to be here. And since you were served, since your client was served, you have never said a word to the district court.
Well, since the attempt on service was made, in other words, the service that was authorized by the court,
on the basis of which was which was the basis for the district court's default judgment, right? Since that time, you have never protested one word to the district court.
Since that time, no. No, that's correct.
Then how do you have the right to be here?
Because the court issued an order sua sponte that required that authorized this service by process, and again, I don't think that the cases, including consortio, I think was the case.
So how do you distinguish consortio?
Because in consortio, the attempted service was made before the court. I think it's factually distinguishable. For one, In that case, the attempted service was made, and the court found that the service was sufficient and entered the default thereafter after an appearance was made. In this case, however, the court, though it granted our initial motion to set aside the default, it entered a sua sponte order authorizing service by these other means. And again, and I hate to belabor the same point, but the issues that, aside from whether the service by publication was sufficient, the other issues that are raised on this appeal regarding due process requiring that Mr. Liu be served by personal service before substitute service is allowed, those issues were raised by the court and denied by the court. The only issue, the order granting our first motion to set aside the default was on the basis that the babysitter wasn't a
why didn't you go back into the district court?
What would have hurt?
Because it would have been futile. It would have been futile because again, same issues that are raised.
It wasn't futile the first time.
Excuse me, Your Honor.
It wasn't futile the first time.
It wasn't, but again, it's the same arguments that we're raising on this appeal were disagreed with by the court in the first motion for default. And to go, I don't think the cases like Consorcio and the other case, Lamb, that was cited by the response, requires the defendant to go in and re-argue points that were already made by the district court and disagreed with by the district court.
But you had a different method of service the second time.
But the
that's
issue,
the problem.
That's correct. It was a different method of service, but the issues remain the same. The due process issues remain the same. The factual issues regarding Mr. Liu's residence.
No, had you gone back into the district court, we would have at least had the benefit of the district court's of a district court opinion on this, wouldn't we?
Well, you would specifically.
You would have briefed it, and Phillips would have briefed it, and we might have had an oral ruling, but we would have at least had the benefit of the district court's thinking on this question.
But again, I think we already have the district court's thinking on the question because the court found in its order setting aside the first default that the house in San Marino was Mr. Liu's resident, that the plaintiff did not have to personally serve the defendant first, did not have to comply with the Hague Convention. Those issues are the same issues that are raised on this appeal. And the
court, what about the publication issue?
The publication issue, I can concede, was not before the court.
So have you forfeited that question by not raising it to the district court?
No, because the primary issue here is due process and
the well, I understand, but haven't you forfeited the question of publication?
No, and again, let me just explain. And getting back to the point with McDonald, the Navy requiring that this idea of due process requires that attempted personal service be attempted before.
But if you waive the issue, you don't have that argument to make. If you did not challenge the service by publication, then the service is good because you didn't challenge it.
This isn't a matter of subject matter jurisdiction, which is not waivable. This is a matter of personal jurisdiction, which is waivable. And if you haven't raised it before the district court, why haven't you forfeited the argument?
Again, I believe that we did raise those issues.
How about the publication?
Publication, and again, I conceded that we did raise the issue of due process.
But it doesn't matter. If you waive the issue of publication, then there's good service under publication, and you lose, right?
I respectfully disagree, because the issue of due process that was raised already raised in the district court and disagreed with by plaintiffs, the same issue that we're raising here, which is that regardless of whether the substitute service was service on the babysitter or the substitute service was service by publication, the same issue remains, which is that
service on a babysitter and service by publication, two rather different things.
Factually, yes, but they're still substituted service, and due process still requires, under the case law, under federal and state California and Nevada law, requires that a reasonably diligent attempt at personal service be attempted before substitute service.
How much is your client potentially on the hook for here?
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Hundreds of millions of dollars, and you didn't raise the question before the district court?
And again, I disagree for the reasons I've stated here. I don't want to repeat.
You know what's curious to me is that at the evidentiary hearing, Counsel came and advised the court that he was appearing only on behalf of certain defendants and not Mr. Liu. What was that strategy?
Well, that wasn't strange because Mr. Liu...
What was the strategy?
There was no strategy. The reason that we weren't representing Mr. Liu at the default judgment proceedings is because Mr. Liu was challenging the jurisdiction of the court.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Doesn't the record suggest that Mr. Liu was aware of what you have referred to as the court's sua sponte order? That is the different order that authorized service by publication along with mailing. Isn't that a fair inference that Mr. Liu was aware of that and he deliberately sat out the district court proceedings? And that answers Judge Rawlinson's question about why counsel was specific as to the fact that he was not representing Mr. Liu at the hearing?
Well, yes, I think that's correct, but I don't think that changes the validity of Mr. Liu's arguments. If he doesn't believe that the court has jurisdiction enter a judgment against him, then there's no reason for him to appear.
It informs the question that you've been asked several times now about this publication and why Mr. Liu didn't challenge it. I take it you concede that he was aware that the court had ruled that publication as an alternative means was permissible in this case, along with mailing. So you concede that he was aware of that and still did not go back to the district court, even though he was aware of the order.
I believe you can infer that he was aware of the order, but again, because Mr. Liu believed that the order was incorrect and subject to appeal on the basis that the court didn't have jurisdiction over him, that there was no, number one, no reason for him to appeal or to appear, and if he did appear, then he might have waived his
objection. How about a special appearance just to challenge the personal jurisdiction?
I believe that special appearance was made in the first motion to set aside the default. And again, I don't want to reassert the same arguments that I've already stated before, but the same issues that I believe, setting aside whether or not service by publication by itself was sufficient. The issues of due process, residency, personal service were all raised before the district court on that first motion and were disagreed with by the district court in that motion.
Do you want to save any time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
I'm Steve Morissette, and I'm here to represent Konieczka, Philips Electronics, N.D. Just briefly as an overview, this is a case where the appellant, Mr. Liu, is attempting to argue procedure and leave out the fact that the substance that he actually was aware of the service was met, and then argue substance that he was denied constitutional rights and leave out the procedure efforts. The record actually shows that Mr. Liu was served five different occasions in this case. First of all, not as an individual, but he received three copies of the summons and complaint in 2006.
That was at the CES convention here in Las Vegas?
Correct. And so there was personal service on him. So we know he got copies. And we also know that
he was named as the defendant at that time.
Correct. And that would not be in any sense a technical correct service. But it shows knowledge of the case from the beginning. He was represented by the same law firm, the same attorneys throughout this. He was actively involved during the time that Phillips was attempting to obtain discovery. Mr. Liu and the defendants, other defendants, were unable or unwilling to provide a witness. And one of the reasons that they ended up with a default, besides the fact that they were violating the other court's freeze orders, was because they said that they could not provide a witness to come to the United States. There was a dispute over that. And at the same time, the record shows that Mr. Liu's visa was good through the end of 2007. In other words, through January of 2008, he was available to show up and appear. So he was intentionally avoiding appearing in this jurisdiction. And so there was independent reason for Judge Hunt to believe that he was not willing to be meaningful to service. The next service, of course, was the service that was done both by the substituted service at the San Marino House in California, where his wife lived, where child had been born, and where a nanny was.
But that was quashed.
That was quashed. And yet, that is something that I think this court should consider in terms of the overall view, because the purpose of service is to provide notice. There's the technical side of it, and there's the substantive side of it. And the case law that we have cited shows that if the defendant, who is actually on notice, received notice, that the requirement is one of substantial compliance. In other words, the technical parts are liberally inserted. So we actually have a situation where Phillips provided notice through three different sets of rules: the federal rules, the Nevada state rules, and the California rules. California rules provide that substituted service is permissible. There is a language in at least one California case that suggests that it is sufficient to attempt service two or three times.
Counsel, isn't your stronger argument the procedural argument? Isn't your stronger argument the procedural argument that there was no Rule 59 or Rule 60
yes.
motion to set aside the default?
Yes, and I did intend to get to that. The reality is that not only was there no Rule 55 motion to set aside, but there was also if there was concern about the order that the judge issued, there was not even a motion for reconsideration. And I would suggest to you that the issues that were not presented include the publication, but also include the fact-specific issues. Any sort of appropriate order that the judge might have issued for service is going to be fact-specific. And Judge Hunt was entitled to hear Mr. Liu's arguments as to what was insufficient about his order.
Mr. Hedrick suggests that consortio does not apply here because you failed to move to dismiss the appeal.
I think that it's within this court's sua sponte ability to do that, and I think it's entirely appropriate to raise that as part of the appellee's brief. I don't know of any reason that has to be done as a separate motion to dismiss.
Your argument is then you haven't forfeited it just because you didn't make a separate motion to dismiss the appeal.
Correct. And I think this court has the power to control its own record or its own calendar.
After service was quashed the first time, Judge Hunt authorized service by publication and by mailing the summons and the First Amendment complaint to Mr. Liu. Where did those mailings go?
The mailing went to the San Marino house.
Was his counsel, or at least his last counsel of record, copied with the mailings?
I would have to check the record, but I believe so. I believe that his counsel was copied with every court document.
Why was publication in Nevada papers instead of California papers?
Because I believe that Judge Hunt was following the Nevada rules of civil procedure. Nevada Rule 4E1 little I provides specifically for notice of publication, and I believe it's in Nevada. But the important point of that was that Judge Hunt, just as this court did in the in the real properties case, recognized that the real service was through the entire process. In other words, there was a duplicate mailing service to the house where his wife and his child lived, and that the attorney who was representing Mr. Liu was present during all of this and received a copy of that order. So Mr. Liu was on notice by a far better mechanism, which is by sending a copy of the order saying that we're going to allow service through this process, sending it to Mr. Hempel and Mr. Hedrick. They knew that Mr. Liu would receive notice. As a matter of fact, we heard Mr. Hedrick earlier in his argument say that the reason that Mr. Liu's attorneys, Mr. Hempel in that case, said that they were not representing Mr. Liu in the default hearing was because, quote, Mr. Liu was challenging service. He wasn't challenging service in that court. He was waiting, apparently, until he got to this court, which would give him an extra year or two of delay, which we would contend is the real purpose in not bringing this to Judge Hunt's attention. I just want to go through. I think that this court can independently consider whether the first service on Mr. Liu involving the service on the name who had been living there for 6 months and essentially was residing there during the day, if not during the night.
That was not appealed, though.
It was not appealed, but in terms of this court's consideration whether or not the overall service was correct, I think you can look at the entire.
Oh, that would revive the appeal, wouldn't it? Because the plaintiffs did, or the appellants here did contest that.
The appellants did contest that, and
that sort of takes it out of consortio and sort of revives the case, doesn't it?
And the issue that we have is that if we had appeal, we would lose the benefit of consortio. But if the court is going to consider that.
Well, if you want us to consider that, then we consider everything.
So. No, only if you are going to consider this appeal at all, which we believe we should not, as we've argued in our brief. If there are no other questions, that's all my presentation.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Rebuttal?
Your Honor, briefly, one more time on the issue of the motion to dismiss. Federal Appellate Procedure 27 in the Ninth Circuit, Rules 27-1, provide specific rules for bringing a motion to dismiss before the court. Now, I have to look at
this. Is it mandatory?
Excuse me?
Is it mandatory?
There's nothing in the statute that says the court
has dismissed. Has Phillips forfeited its argument here because it didn't make a motion to dismiss?
Yes.
And okay. What's the rule?
I'm sorry?
What's the rule that says that?
Federal Appellate Procedure set forth
27
and Ninth Circuit Rule 27-1 set forth specific rule for challenging the court's jurisdiction to hear the appeal.
And it is mandatory to do that on penalty of forfeiting the argument. What's the language in the statute?
I don't have the language quoted for me, but I would refer the court to that statute, and I don't believe there's anything within those rules that state that the court can, on a whim, disregard those rules whenever it
chooses. Well, often when there are motions to dismiss file, we defer them or deny them so that we can hear arguments.
That may be so, but then at least the party opposing the motion to dismiss has a full opportunity to file a written opposition. In accordance with the rules and the page limitations.
Well, you have an opportunity to file an opposition in your reply brief.
Correct, and we did to a limited extent, but the reply brief were limited to a certain number of words that at least we thought were better suited to discussing the merits of the case because we believe that the motion.
You can ask for additional words.
That's true. We could. But again, the rules set out those specific procedures. They have to bring a motion to dismiss.
They don't have to.
But I respectfully disagree.
If that was your strong argument, you should have the rule and the language for us to look at. Madam Clerk, is there a copy of the Ninth Circuit rules over there?
Or FRAP, FRAP 27, I think, will be in the blue volume. Not the blue volume, that's criminal. See if you've got civil. Give it to the chief.
All right, let's find the. We just stop the clock for a moment. We don't want to take this time.
I would only have about 12 seconds left. So.
You probably were wanting that time to wind down, didn't you?
Well, no, because I wanted to get to some other issues that I was hoping to address that Rule 27 issue briefly and go on to other issues that were raised.
Okay.
Page 550.
Respond.
553, it looks like.
Okay.
551.
We're looking at Rule 27. Motions. It says, I'm reading 27A in general. An application for an order or other relief is made by motion unless these rules prescribe another form. A motion must be in writing unless the court permits otherwise. So what in that language do you think compels the motion to dismiss?
I believe it was that first sentence that says
An application for an order or other relief is made by motion?
Correct, Your Honor.
The only thing that's mandatory there is that it has to be in writing. That a motion has to be in writing. It doesn't say anything about making the motion itself mandatory.
Right, but they didn't bring a motion. They raised an argument in their respondent's brief.
All right. All right. What was the other point you wanted to make?
Just quickly, the defendants state that argue that Mr. Liu had received notice in various ways, for example, by being served with the corporate defendant's summons and complaint and the service on Annie Ann. But the cases are clear that notice of the action is not by itself sufficient. There has to be some...
Right. There was no question that there was a game going on and that your client was trying to avoid service in every way that he could, right?
But
he's entitled to do that.
Right. Well, that's not correct because he accepted personal service on the corporate defendant. I mean, there was no evidence that he was attempting to avoid service whatsoever. He accepted service on behalf of the corporate defendants. The only attempt at personal service on Mr. Liu as a defendant in this case was the deficient service on the babysitter. And that is not a reasonably diligent attempt at personal service on the defendant.
Yeah, I don't understand your last argument that there wasn't a game going on when I thought you conceded that he was aware of Judge Hunt's sua sponte second order saying service by publication will suffice in this case and send two copies to his home as well. You say if he's actually aware of that, And he's avoiding coming into court to challenge what he thinks is an inappropriate order. See, it sounds to me like a game was going on with Mr. Liu playing a part in it.
Your Honor, with all due respect, he's not playing a game. He's attempting to exercise his right to due process and to determine whether or not he is subject to the jurisdiction of the Nevada District Court.
Yeah, but I think Judge Burton's point is he knew very well that he was being sued in this case. He knew what the suit was about. And he was not willing to make himself available to receive it.
That's not. I disagree with that. There's no facts on the record that
that's not a fair inference.
The only attempt.
Is that a fair inference?
No, Your Honor. With
every client was willing to accept service
in accordance with due process and
okay.
in accordance
with
the rule.
Would he have been willing to waive personal service under Rule 4? He didn't send a letter by the plaintiff.
It was never requested of us, Your Honor. So it's a period
of counsel, your client wasn't willing to waive service, personal service, and by letter, was he?
Your Honor, I don't know because it was never requested of us, and so we never had an opportunity to ask our client.
Counsel, we understand your argument. Thank you. Thank you to both counsel. The case just argued is submitted for decision by the court.